Welcome to the Fair Talks podcast, where we educate everyday people for extraordinary change. I'm your host, Alicia Chan, Executive Director of Fairtrade LA, a community of business members, nonprofits, and fair trade enthusiasts driving proactive, sustainable solutions for a fairer world. I'm also a social entrepreneur with a passion for ending poverty and creating dignified jobs. Together, we'll explore how fair trade changes lives and communities and what we can do to address some of the world's biggest problems right in our own homes. Let's dive in. Fair Talks is brought to you by Fairtrade USA, the organization that brings you the Fair Trade Certified label. Fairtrade USA is committed to building an innovative model of responsible business, conscious consumerism, and shared value to eliminate poverty and enable sustainable development for farmers, workers, their families, and communities around the world. Our guest today launched a company that I like to describe as the Mary Kay of fair trade. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you have no idea. So here's a brief explanation. Mary Kay is a makeup and skincare company. I've used a few items over the years, and it's good quality. But you can't find them anywhere in store, and you can't buy directly from the company's site online either. You can only order from their representatives directly. That's what you'd call a direct sales company. I had a friend in college who her and her mom were Mary Kay representatives, and our friends got together for a Mary Kay party where we were able to sample all the products, try on different makeup and different shades of colors, learn from our friend how to apply different things, all in the comfort of a home. We made it a fun girls' night, a chance to get together for a Friday evening, and on top of all that, we were able to support our friend's business. We put in our orders for what we wanted, and she later delivered those items to us that we already know we love because we tried them on. And she made some money as well and was able to go to this one retreat she really wanted to go to. It was a win-win for everyone. Now, not only Mary Kay, but a lot of other companies choose this business model as well. Other ones you may have heard of are like doTERRA, which is an essential oils company, Tupperware, a kitchenware storage container company, and many more. This direct sales business model is very successful. In fact, I remember learning in business that is one of the most effective ways as a sales strategy, because who do you trust the most? Your family and friends. When your friends or even your friend's friend recommends something to you that worked well for them, that opinion influences you more than a random ad you may see on TV, some unknown person who is paid to sell you something, right? It is very effective, and I love that it is being used to spread fair trade products across the US. When I first heard about this company that we have on our podcast today, I was just starting out on my own journey working with artisans in Haiti. I was passionate about supporting fair trade jobs and was looking for ways to make the biggest impact. I remember visiting one of our Haitian artisan partners, Papillon, in the capital, Port-au-Prince, and seeing how this company that we have on today was able to place such a large order because of their direct sales model. To be honest, I was a little jealous, but in a good way. I wanted to have an impact like them. So today, I'm so delighted to be able to interview the co-founder of this company called Trades of Hope. Trades of Hope exists to create jobs for women in communities of extreme poverty by selling an exclusive line of high-quality fair trade accessories made by artisan partners around the world. Trades of Hope, which started in 2010, champions fashion as a force for good. Motivated to create jobs for mothers so they don't have to give up their babies to orphanages, help women rise out of poverty, trafficking, and gender inequality by selling their fair trade goods with the support of women across the U.S. called Trades of Hope Partners. Gretchen Heishkins is co-founder and CEO of Trades of Hope. She is a pioneer in the field of sustainable businesses. But before Trades of Hope, Gretchen founded an orphanage, a school, and a medical clinic in Haiti. Her experiences on the ground showed her how charities sometimes perpetrated a problem in developing countries, but business could be used to solve problems and create sustainable social impact. Gretchen has channeled her passion and expertise into growing Trades of Hope into a missional company that reaches thousands of people around the world. She is giving our community a special deal, so make sure to stick around until the end for your exclusive discount code. Now, without further ado, let's dive in. Well, welcome, Gretchen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I've so enjoyed getting to know a little bit about you and all that you're doing through Fairtrade LA and podcasts.
Yeah.
And so fun.
I'm actually really excited to finally be connected because I feel like at some point we probably crossed paths. We've probably been on the plane together back and forth from Haiti at some point. I've always known about your work with the artisans that we work with, a lot of the same artisans in Haiti, like Papillon. And I've always been inspired every time I hear about Trades of Hope because I've seen, you know, firsthand locally, the impact that you guys have been making through all your work with Trades of Hope. So yeah, now I'm excited to, finally get connected and shed more light into the impact you've been making.
Thank you. I know you are very like-minded with your mission, and our stories definitely have a lot of similarities and crossovers. So
yes. So yeah, I'm excited to learn more. So Trades of Hope has made its way around the US as a fair trade direct sales company. And I've seen many sales reps, or what you would call Trades of Hope partners, that uses this model to raise money for their needs, including their adoption journey. But many people may not know that your journey of starting this company also began with your own adoption journey. So can you tell us more about what brought you to Haiti and your experience on the ground for almost a decade?
There's been a learning curve. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It began in 2002, and we started looking at international adoption. I learned a lot about different organizations working in Haiti, and unfortunately saw quite a bit of corrupt situations and children not being taken care of well. And, you know, a friend of mine and I, we decided, hey, we don't know how to run an orphanage in Haiti, but we have enough contacts there. We think we can do better than anything we've seen by far at that point. And so we jumped in and tried to provide a quality care for small children. We were kind of thinking this, you know, keeping it small to try and keep the care, you know, what we would want it to be, how we would want our children to be taken care of, if at all possible. So we just jumped in and really wanted to provide quality care to these babies that had been abandoned. And we did that for many years. But over those years, I realized more and more what was going on and became more and more educated and realized most of these children had parents out there. Not all of them, of course. Mm-hmm. Some of them were truly abandoned, but many cases, they had parents who loved them, who would have kept them had they had any other choice. And so, you know, after so many times of women trying to hand me their babies, asking if I would take care of them with tears in their eyes, I mean, that's just awful. I can't even imagine, as a mother myself, needing to make that decision.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, there's got to be a better way. You know, I remember being so frustrated. And then I learned about microfinancing, and Mohamed Yunus writes about this and this whole program, and it all seemed so wonderful. And I thought we would go in that direction eventually, but we had so much to deal with the orphanage. We had a school, we had a medical clinic, and it was just a lot to try and keep up with every month. And so it was kind of like that got pushed to the back burner, which was a shame, because in the meanwhile, there are still mothers who needed to give up their children, whether to us or to, you know, patient social services or whatever the case may be. And so when the earthquake happened, we were just blown out of the water at the fact that we were able to bring all of the children that were in our orphanage here to the US. They were all in the process of being adopted, and they were all granted humanitarian parole visas. Like something I wouldn't have even thought to pray for. Like, it just seemed like completely impossible, right?
How many kids?
28.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really crazy. And all of a sudden, I didn't have an orphanage anymore. Mm. And I didn't even really realize how heavy that was.
Mm.
It was just something we did for 8 years, right? That was just a responsibility. And we just tried to make it work every month.
Wow.
And all of a sudden that wasn't there anymore. So I, after kind of getting back from Haiti, because I had flown down and ended up, was able to fly back with all the kids, after kind of a little bit of a recovery time, we started brainstorming, what could this look like? And I was just talking to another friend of mine, and she was telling me things she was thinking. I was telling her things I was thinking. And really, out of those conversations is where Trades of Hope came from. Mm-hmm. And this idea that, you know, it'd be so beautiful to be able to help mothers have jobs so that they can create the life that they want to have, you know, for themselves, for their children.
I think a lot of people don't know this fact that actually most of the parents, I think the statistic, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like about 90% of the orphans in Haiti still have their parents or some sort of relative, but they just can't afford to keep them.
Yes, that's what I have heard. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but that number is huge regardless.
Yeah, but people don't they don't know, obviously. They just think, oh, if you're in an orphanage, you're an actual orphan. And So once I think both of us realized that, it's like, okay, we got to change our approach, do something different. So I read a powerful statement on your website. It says, every purchase supports a woman leading her family out of poverty. She doesn't need pity or charity. She's proud to be providing for her kids and being the hero of her own story. I love that. You touched on this a little bit, but what was the turning point, or at what moment did you really say, okay, let's do this thing called Trades of Hope?
Hi, it was just becoming aware of the fact that there were women all over the world who are much more like me than not. You know, I think we have much more in common as women than we don't, regardless of our circumstances. And so many of the women I met in Haiti were strong and capable and intelligent women. And so the idea that we could kind of create a missional business that just offered opportunity to strong, capable, beautiful women around the world. You know, my friend Holly and I, we were talking, and she ended up telling me about a candle party she had just been to, right? This is 14 years ago. And we just fell in love, like, wow, well, if people can sell candles in this way, you know, and women want to go and share this with other women, you know, now it's a multitude of ways, but like, how beautiful would it be if each piece offered that opportunity that so many other women are lacking around the world?
Yeah. Now, what really stands out to me about Trades of Hope in the fair trade space is that it's a direct sales model, which you don't see a lot of. I like to call that it's like the Mary Kay of fair trade, because it really has made its way around the US. And because of this model, the impact multiplies quickly for the artisans, because it's happening, you know, these direct sales, these parties are happening everywhere. And yeah, these beautiful handmade products are also being sent across the US. It's a really powerful model. But some of our listeners may not be familiar with this model. Can you break down what direct sales model is and how it works to be a Trades of Hope partner? And like, what led you to choose this business model versus, you know, what's been out there?
Well, I would say, to take even one small step back, you know, over those 8 years running a charity, I worked with a lot of volunteers. And I just know, you know, you've seen over and over again where people can have the best of intention, but life gets in the way. They have to earn an income at some point. And sometimes they take other jobs and they can't volunteer and so on. So I love this idea that the women, you know, who are out wearing and sharing these pieces of jewelry or these scarves or handbags or whatever are earning an income too, because that's what makes it truly, in my mind, a dignified partnership, you know, where we're all working together. It can be really long-term. You know, we have a lot of women who signed up to sell Trades of Hope 10 to 12 years ago who are still selling it on a regular basis. And if it can, you know, help provide for her family so that she can keep doing that, I think that's really great. And, you know, talking to artisans, visiting, we share these things. We're really open, and we take partners to visit certain countries and certain artisan groups. And one of them used to be Haiti. Can't do that right now, of course. But, you know, we were sitting talking to some of the artisans at Papillon, and one of the artisans basically asked one of the partners who was sitting next to me, why do you care so much? Because through a translator, she was kind of asking all these questions and, you know, and the partner said, well, because when I sell the products you made, you can put food on your table, but I can put food on my table too. And the artisan started crying. And they all started then crying and hugging. You know, it wasn't
so powerful.
Yeah. And it was such another lesson for me that I think of quite often, right? It was just such good confirmation that there is a lot of beauty and development over charity. Charity has a place. We all need to be generous at times, but it doesn't solve every problem. It's usually a band-aid on a really bad situation. So I love the idea of focusing on development, you know, through Trades of Hope. And I think it's just, there's so many beautiful things, and to see relationship formed out of, you know, this partnership that our artisans have with women here in the United States. And it's really been beautiful.
Before we dive back into today's episode, let's take a moment to shine a spotlight on something truly remarkable. Did you know that Trades of Hope is a proud member of the Fair Trade Federation? The Fair Trade Federation, or the FTF, is an inspiring trade association comprised of verified fair trade enterprises. These enterprises are deeply committed to fostering equitable and sustainable trading partnerships. Grounded in community values, they work tirelessly to support and strengthen one another, all while advancing a global movement in trade, one that values the health of the planet and the labor, dignity, and equality of all people. Being part of this vibrant community of fair trade enterprises comes with numerous benefits. So, if you're an entrepreneur running a social enterprise and you're eager to get involved, visit the membership section at thefairtradefederation.org to discover what it takes for you to become verified. Also, the Fair Trade Federation just had their 30th anniversary conference and expo in the vibrant city of Richmond, Virginia, just last month. Over 45 verified fair trade enterprises showcased their products and stories at the expo, which is unlike any other event in the U.S. and Canada. If you weren't able to join the event, no worries. There is so much more to come from the Fair Trade Federation in 2024. So for more details, visit thefairtradefederation.org and sign up for the newsletter to stay in the loop.
Honestly, your story just is a reminder that no season, nothing is wasted, because you know, even your time having that orphanage and, you know, working with volunteers led you to think of this business model that, you know, benefits so many people and is able to multiply that impact because of what you've seen. So it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Now, if someone wants to be a Trades of Hope partner, what does that look like?
They can sign up really easily on our website. We try and have very affordable options, and so people can get started and, you know, be a part of it, a part of a movement. And I know there are so many women who have very full lives in the U.S., but they want to do something purposeful in addition to the lives that they're living. And, you know, we have women who are retired out of executive positions who are just looking for something to fit into their retired life now. We have moms with little ones, you know, who want to have something more than just being at home. And I say that I always feel bad, but I was the mom who was blessed enough to be able to stay at home with my kids. But I wanted a little something more. I wanted to talk to grownups. I wanted to do something, you know, outside my home too. And not that there's, you know, it's not necessary. Yeah. If you can be content staying at home and raising kids, I actually think that's awesome. So, you know, but yeah, it's really for any woman that wants to come alongside other women and, you know, do something. It's really so much bigger than ourselves.
Yeah. So will they receive like samples, or how does that process work?
Yeah, we usually have a couple different choices. They're usually, you know, there's always one under $30, and then usually one around, you know, under $80. So you can, but they're discounted products. So for us, we are moving more artisan products that way too. So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
And you get a box full of products that are over 50% off typically. So that you can see it for yourself, have it in your hands, feel good about the pieces, and then start kind of wearing and sharing, you know?
So. Yeah, hosting fun parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trades of Hope has been a huge inspiration to me, like I said earlier, because I saw the collective impact that we're making with our purchases around the world. And this business model that you launched has also allowed you to expand beyond Haiti. I love that. How did you go about finding other artisans? You know, Haiti, you know, it kind of came together with your work.
Ellie was a friend of a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you even go about that process?
Well, first of all, we started just doing some research online. Our concern was, could we find enough great products made by women around the world to launch a whole business around? And now we say that we laugh about it because there's more than enough. That's not a really concern at all. Yeah. So we started working with some established fair trade groups. You know, fair trade has been a thing in India since the 40s. There were actually Mennonite women who would go over and do mission work and then bring products back and sell them here. And that kind of, they kind of started that movement, I believe. And so they're established groups, and that's good because then that helps us scale quickly at times with growth. Some other ones are emails that we received, you know, 12 years ago saying, I'm connected to this woman in Cambodia. This is her situation. She basically would love to make anything that she possibly can. You know, it would help give her purpose and an income and so on. And, you know, throughout 15 countries, then we have been able to partner with groups that some of them startups, some of them established. And it's our goal to have really long-term relationships with them, you know, to really, we definitely feel an obligation to the groups that we currently work with. And now we get applications all the time. We actually have an application, artisan application on our website, but we are really hesitant to add any more artisan groups because we are really trying to sustain our orders with the current groups that we have. But yeah, as we grow, no doubt we will continue to add other groups. So.
Yeah. So how many countries?
15.
15. And how many artisan groups do you have?
27.
Wow. Plastic. Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's so awesome. I'm sure over the years you have endless stories. You shared one earlier that's so moving, but you probably have endless stories of the impact you've made in local communities through this fair trade employment. Can you tell us some of the most memorable or significant stories of how, like, Trades of Hope, this business as a force for good, made a major difference in those artisan communities?
Sure. I can try and do that. First, I'm going to share with you, I don't think I told you this before, but in the month of May, we're actually celebrating having given $1 million in donations and gifts. We call it Gifts of Hope. It's a charitable arm. A lot of it goes back into our artisan communities, or it goes to other, you know,
that's
other
incredible.
Organizations.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's Thank a huge you. Mile marker. Wow.
We are, we're getting ready to celebrate that very soon. So we're thrilled about that. Again, the stories are different depending on where you're at, but there is always this common thread, right? Like in Haiti, we have seen women who have gone from really hard situations, as I know you've seen, gone from really hard situations to leaving abusive homes and husbands, to building their own homes, to making sure their kids are in school, and, you know, just really moving stories.
Yeah.
And then I've also seen here in the US, you know, we do work with a couple US-based groups who are, they are really cool groups who help women who are coming out of really hard places, whether that is trafficking or that is, you know, even just prison and needing to kind of get a new step into life, right? And we love that as well. And I've also seen our partners, you know, these American women who are all very different, find purpose and do things they never thought possible either, travel and go meet artisans, you know, be able to do more public speaking and training and helping and building up other people. And so I've just seen a lot of growth on every level. And to me, that just makes all of the work really worth it.
Yeah. I love what you shared about women trying to reestablish their life after coming out of prison. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And a lot of adoption stories too, right?
We have a lot of adoptive moms in Trades of Hope. I will say most of them are here for the same reason I am. They've realized, wow, like adoption is certainly not the first answer to problems. You know, it should be kind of your last resort. So the idea if they could keep families together, I know that's also meant a lot to some of our kids who have been adopted, right? Who can see that development and it kind of become part of their story.
Yeah. Again, nothing's wasted. You know, the story is all tied together. I love that. So powerful. I feel like I have so many more questions to ask and so much more to learn. And I was so excited when I found out you came out with a book recently called Our Voices Rising. First of all, congratulations. I can't even imagine. That must have been like a many, you know, at least a few years process to make that happen.
I did have some help. a woman who's become a very good friend of mine did help me put the book together. And it was a journey, you know, and kind of reliving a lot of these things, remembering a lot of stories as we were putting the book together. That was interesting too, right? Things that happened 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're powerful and we're kind of the foundational building blocks of the work that we do now.
I'm so excited to read it. What made you want to write this book? And what do you want the world to gain from reading this book?
I would really love for people, women, to realize that how they spend their dollars really matters. And there is so much power in what you purchase to do a lot of good or maybe not so much good, you know? And I think that so many times we as Americans feel like there's not a lot we can do to alleviate multi-generational poverty and human trafficking, like really big, serious problems in our world. But how you shop and what you purchase is a vote for that every single time.
Yes.
And it moves the needle every single time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I have just, you know, really tried to become more and more aware myself personally. I don't get it perfect all the time, but my goal is year after year to, you know, be purchasing more fair trade, more ethically made pieces. It may be less because sometimes those pieces are more expensive, but being thoughtful about it and really caring about the people who made the things that we buy, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be my first, you know.
Yeah, takeaway.
Yeah, because it's applicable to everybody too, right? And then it was definitely, you know, in all honesty, to try and get the word out about Trades of Hope. I would, you know, I love our mission. I would love more people to be a part of it, whether that is a customer or a partner with our artisans. There is so much good left to be done in the world. And you know, the idea of hundreds and thousands of more women coming alongside and doing that together. I mean, that's where the magic happens, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, it's, first of all, it's power. Your story is powerful. So I'm so glad it's your journey. You shared your journey and it's out there through this book, but two, imagine how, you know, Mary Kay is around the world and how that same model can literally make a huge impact on so many lives around the world. Like I see it. And I want more and more women to join. And
well, thank you. We do too, because that's, and I guess you asked that earlier and I didn't really answer it, but you know, when we first started thinking about the concept, the idea of a brick and mortar was so limited. You know, I'm not saying there isn't great things that can happen out of a brick and mortar store, because there is, but here in my little town of Palm Coast, I'm only going to sell so many pieces each day, right? Yeah. No matter how great the store is, versus the idea that the, you know, the impact that can be had by women and some really great men across the United States coming together to do this that's endless. That's, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And I think we just all need to become more aware of brands like yours and Trades of Hope and, you know, other organizations and companies out there who are really trying to thoughtfully move that needle.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Did you know that World Fair Trade Day this year is on Saturday, May 11th? Every year on the second Saturday of May, we join the global celebration of fair trade's contribution to the fight against poverty, exploitation, and climate change. At Fairtrade LA, we want to invite you, our Fairtrade community, to help drive the future of the Fairtrade movement forward. We need your support to keep Fairtrade LA going, keep creating life-giving content like this podcast episode, and most importantly, to give a voice to the Fairtrade artisans, farmers, producers, and small businesses who are making a real difference around the world. In honor of World Fair Trade Day, we're asking you to consider making a contribution to our nonprofit, Fairtrade LA. We exist through ongoing donations from passionate change makers like you who believe in creating sustainable business models to lift people out of poverty. To celebrate this year, we want to give you free gifts. When you make a donation in the month of May, you will receive fun donation perks. Check out all our Fairtrade gifts at fairtradela.org/donate.
Yeah, I hope that our listeners are moved and, you know, intrigued to learn more. But if you're interested in learning more about the power of trade over aid, if you're interested in learning more about fair trade business models, learning how to create a sustainable business, and just learn more about Gretchen's journey, I definitely encourage our listeners to grab this book on Amazon right now. Like right after you listen to this, go to Amazon and check out the book called Our Voices Rising. I'm so excited to read it. Now, over the past few years since the pandemic, our economy has changed and it's hugely impacted small businesses. And we've talked about this.
The pain.
Every week we're just saying how we're seeing announcements of small businesses closing down. It's so sad. Now, so let's get to the root of it. How has the economy impacted Trades of Hope the past few years? How have you seen it affect even the direct sales model?
It's definitely been a slow decline. So, you know, since the pandemic started, the first year wasn't too bad. I think everybody was home shopping online. And then, you know, as the world continues to change and evolve, over the last years, I've been really surprised to see things slow a little bit. The women who are selling Trades of Hope are selling more than ever before, which is amazing to me. Like there's passion comes through. But the overall business sales have continued to shrink a little bit. And that means for us, we can't put the orders in, you know, for the artisans as regularly as we used to. And, you know, we've had to have some hard conversations where artist partners have literally come to us and said, can you tell us what we're doing wrong? You're not ordering as much from us this year as you did last year, as you did the year before. So we've just had to be really transparent with them as well. And assure them it is not because of, you know, that they are doing anything wrong. It's just the way of the world. And I do believe it will turn around at some point and people are still shopping. So I think if we can just become a little bit more aware and really understand and grasp the power you have through your purchases, then there's still hope.
Yes. We have to hold on. We definitely have to hold on. And you've had to pivot, right, during this season to also open up an e-commerce site.
We did, yes. And it's kind of like, you know, just trying to do new things and see what works. And we've kind of, you know, tested out a few things that we might be able to move our direct sales portion into at some point. We've had conversations again this morning about it, but we do have another site. It's called tradesofhope.shop. And it is just using super fast software that the average consumer has gotten used to, you know, easy checkout, Shop Pay, all of those kind of things. It's a good little supplement to what's going on with our partners.
And also because not everyone knows a Trades of Hope, you know, partner sales rep, it is helpful to have that as a way to support and shop. So yeah, for our listeners, stick around till the end because there's an exclusive discount code for you guys to have free shipping to shop on the site.
That's right.
Now, in face of the current events around the world, you know, we're becoming more war-torn than ever, hit with poverty and famine more than ever. Given your experience, what would you say to the world today? How can we truly make a lasting difference? And like, are you hopeful that we can make a difference?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it is sad that, you know, the mission that Trades of Hope and your brand share, trying to create opportunities where there is none at times, is more important than ever. And, you know, when we talk to artisan groups in Haiti, the fact that they have jobs is incredibly remarkable right now. And, you know, the wars will stop eventually. And then there's going to be, the need is going to be greater than ever before. And that is heartbreaking. But, you know, we as Americans have an opportunity to help where we can through charity or through our, you know, businesses and purchases that are really thoughtful about who's making them around the world. I feel like I sound like a little bit of a broken record on that, but
no,
I'm passionate about that one.
I think, and I share this passion with you because we've seen how Haiti is just constantly being struck with things, right? Yeah. And I think it is in moments like this where we are experiencing a crisis that we have to recognize the difference between a Band-Aid, like a temporary aid, versus how do we start implementing long-term solutions. I don't think, you know, I think a lot of people maybe think about those things too late. And it's in moments of crisis that we do have to think about that. And start investing in long-term solutions and not just temporary aid.
Yes. Yes. I remember having all those thoughts after the earthquake, even.
Yes.
And, you know, charities, they did start to get a lot of donations and things. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity to be thoughtful about long-term development, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it does feel like we're a little bit back to square one again. But the need is there. And so we will continue to do our part.
Yeah. So definitely this time more than ever, we have to think about the power of our purchases.
Yes.
Yeah. And we definitely can make a difference through that.
Yes.
Now we want to end with a fun personal question. What is your favorite piece from Trades of Hope, or at least your current favorite piece?
Yes. Well, I'm so glad I did wear this necklace. Oh. This is my current favorite piece. And it has a little sparrow on it. Oh. So it's a piece made by a woman in India. And we have a whole collection called the Giving Necklaces. And so not only it provides a job for a woman in India, but it also goes back to, this one's about orphan prevention. And so we do give a donation of $10 for every necklace to Papillon, because I believe Papillon is just spot on with orphan prevention and incredibly effective with that. Yeah, so our giving necklaces, some give to ending hunger, some give to girls' education. So it's a whole category that we're continuing to develop. So
I love that. I'm going to go check it out, the giving necklaces. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Now this season, we also want to end every episode by asking our guests this question. How do you personally stay hopeful on your journey dealing with this economy, the political turmoils, pivoting in business? Like, what are tips or practices or mindsets you can share that can help us stay hopeful on this journey of creating a better world?
Yeah, I think that's the stories, right? The experiences, the stories of the proof that this works. The idea of just sending out emails to the artisan groups we work with and saying, hey, this has gotten hard and we're done. That's not good. It's not okay. Yeah. So sometimes there are realities of things that need to happen, but that's what keeps us going. Me, my staff, and, you know, our partners, because just because it's harder, there are many really hard things going on in the world. Yeah. And, you know, we need to do our part still. So knowing those women, knowing their stories is definitely the fuel to our passion.
And this is why we have this podcast. I'm so passionate about sharing stories around the world. Like, we need to know these things. So thank you for, in a way, advocating. Yeah, being the advocate for these stories. And thank you for sharing it with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Whether you're a business owner or someone who just cares about fighting for justice, I hope you gain some insight from this conversation. In life, nothing is wasted. Each experience, if we learn from it, can propel us into greater purpose, where perhaps we can even find greater hope. May you take time out to reflect on your own journey and see how you can use your experience and your story to give hope to others. If you are inspired to shop and support Trades of Hope on their new online platform, check out tradesofhope.shop. Gretchen is giving our community free shipping until the end of the year with code FairTradeLA. That is FairTradeLA. As always, you can find this information and more in our show notes at fairtradela.org/podcast. Until next time, bye for now. I want to thank the creative team behind the Fair Talks podcast, our executive producer, Juliette Bucurel, our editor, Kaden Sullivan, our marketing team, Jasmine French, Elena Alcero, and Lizzie Case. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Fair Talks podcast. Thank you for being a part of our community and sharing the fair trade message. Thank you again to our sponsor, Fairtrade USA, for making this possible. Now, are you ready to create change? The next time you're out shopping, just pick up one fair trade item to buy, like coffee, chocolate, or bananas, and make a difference. Ask your office, church, business, school, or your family to shop more fair. If you have any questions or want to learn more, head over to fairtradela.org/podcast for show notes, discount codes, and additional resources. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And follow us on social media at FairTradeLA to join our amazing community of fair trade lovers. Tune into our next Fair Talks conversation to hear more life-changing stories. Thanks for listening.